This hour, we're talking about the comic book market for adults and the people who helped to create it. And that brings us to Will Eisner. Now, not all illustrators agree on what to call graphic novels, or even when the first one appeared, but most would agree that if there was a man who was instrumental in bringing them into the mainstream, it was Will Eisner. Eisner was best known in the 1930s and 40s as the head of a comics packaging firm and creator of a popular comic strip and eventual TV show called The Spirit. But it was Eisner's graphic novels that helped launch a comics revolution. Michael Schumacher recently published a biography of Eisner called A Dreamer's Life in Comics. He says Eisner always believed in the literary potential of sequential art.
You almost have to be visionary in your own sense to believe something like this back in the days when comic strips sold newspapers. Comic books were for 12-year-old cretins from Kansas City, as they said in those days. To believe that there was a higher art involved really took a leap of faith. And Eisner had the courage to take that leap. He was laughed at, you know, for it. And he just continued on. Even his Spirit stories were stories, first and foremost. And it just continued on till he saw a longer form.
Just to kind of put this in some kind of historical context, this is pre-Superman, pre-Batman. This is before the comics had become even as ubiquitous as they were by the 50s.
In fact, Eisner had the distinction of turning down Superman when they came to him when he had the packaging firm.
A decision he may have regretted later on.
Siegel and Schuster approached him, showed him the work, or sent him the stuff in the mail. And he looked at it and he says, you know, kid, you better work a little bit more. This isn't anything anybody's going to be interested in. He got to tell that as a story for the rest of his life, how he turned down Superman. Well, he didn't like all the people fighting, you know, monsters or space aliens or whatever. He appreciated what they meant to the market. And he certainly would have plugged into it for the market. But he preferred to deal with humans in human adventures. When they have no superpowers to fall back on, you're relying more on story, aren't you? The Spirit had no superpowers. Yeah. And that's a natural progression from comics to graphic novels, where if you're going to write something that's long, you better have a story to hold people's interest.
Yeah. Tell me about how The Spirit came to be.
It was an unusual situation where several people coming together at the same time. There was a comics distributor, a syndicate, that was interested in creating a comic book. The comic book would be in color. It would be inserted into the newspaper, which is, to my knowledge, the only time that's ever happened. I don't think it's happened since, where you put a whole comic book in a newspaper of original material and so forth. Eisner got together with a guy named Busy Arnold, who ran a very, very successful comics business. And they worked out this character, this Spirit. They had no idea what it was going to be.
There's a funny story you tell in your book, as a matter of fact, of the day when, was it Arnold who called him and said, tell me about the character, and Eisner hadn't really thought about it?
He just was struggling with it, trying to figure out what he's going to do.
He's on the phone and says, well, he's got a hat.
Yes, and he just starts drawing this character. They say, well, what would he be wearing? What would he do? And he said, well, he wears a mask, and he draws a mask over this, which became the thorn in his side, where the Spirit never took off his mask. So he'd be standing waiting for a subway train with a mask. Imagine that today, if somebody's standing with a mask on waiting to get on the subway. This bothered him to no end. But he wanted this person to be human, so how are we going to do this? So he put on this sort of weird, you know, the mask and the coat, the blue suit, actually, and the hat, which was his little way of tweaking Busy Arnold, because it was the same kind of hat that Arnold wore. And the Spirit was born.
What's interesting about this is the Spirit is not a great story. It's not Eisner's ultimate creation.
No.
But it is so different from what other artists were doing at the time that as he did so many times in his life, it started a new trend in comics. So that comics up to that point had, as you said, superheroes fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Eisner said, well, I like somebody who's got a lot of strength, but I want more than that, and set a standard for storytelling that others sort of had to follow.
I think it was Jules Pfeiffer who had the great line, you know, Eisner's the guy everybody steals from. And he admitted it himself to some extent, because this guy was actually creating the formula, even as he went along creating a formula and breaking it himself and moving on to the next thing. He was a pioneer.
One of the things that this leads us to is a discussion of the world of comics, mm-hmm. and Eisner in it. There was a lot of infighting among the creators, distributors, sure. artists, and storytellers in the world of comics, wasn't there?
There was no model in those days to deal with. They had no, you know, way of knowing. Who do we give credit to for this? You have to think of these comic books shops that they had, or comics shops that they had in those days, where the head of the shop, so to speak, or the owner of the company would sit at the front like a school teacher, and they'd have rows of drawing tables. And they'd be passing stuff along. They'd be discussing things as they go along. And who knew who was coming up with what? It's like any other collaborative process, really. If you look, Al Capp, when he was doing Lil Abner, had a couple of assistants who, you know, had as much to do with the direction the stories were taking as Capp did. So it was very, very difficult to understand how should we pay these guys?
But this is another way in which Eisner sort of led the pack, wasn't it? He understood early on that he needed to be in charge.
Yes, and he understood that you have to keep your copyrights. And he just instinctively understood that and fought for that when they were creating the Spirit insert comic book.
So the Spirit was a success for a long time, mm-hmm. and was even revived later on, but that wasn't satisfactory for Eisner. Mm-hmm. This was just kind of a beginning of storytelling for him. He wanted more mm-hmm. out of comics. So where did he go next?
I think most creative geniuses are restless people. And Eisner certainly was. He thought that comics could be used to educate. And he was able to explore that to some extent when he was in World War II. He worked out of Washington, D.C., and did posters and such for the Army or for the armed forces. Well, afterwards, he thought, let's take this a step further. He created a company called American Visuals. And they did a number of things along that line. Books that were published, comic books that were published on how to get a job, or I can't speak of one right off the top of my head, but let's say how to, you know, get a job as a plumber or something. He was working along that line, but he was also working very closely with the Army on PS Magazine, which was an absolutely radical concept at the time. We're going to have something that the soldiers, you know, would be given to soldiers that's instructive. He was the art director of PS Magazine, and he had any number of people tell him that his drawings even saved their lives. His concept here was is that there are people that can't read an instruction manual, but they can look at sequential art and see how to do some of these things.
All of this was training for the man he was going to become, though,
yes.
wasn't it? He, after this, with all of these different kinds of uses of art, is the father of the graphic novel.
That's always going to be up for debate, whether or not he actually fathered it or not. Eisner, though, deserves full credit for being the one to literally drag it into the public consciousness, and that's important.
Yeah.
He was a big enough name, and when Contract with God came out, he was able to use that to launch this whole other area of writing that he wanted to explore.
Well, let's talk about the Contract with God for a little while, mm-hmm. because that was a big shift.
Yes, it was.
In his life, but also in the world of comic publishing. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
A Contract with God was just a culmination of a lot of things that had built up in Eisner's life and art up until that point. Everything from the Spirit and the way stories were told to the very tragic death of his teenage daughter of leukemia that made him extremely angry, and he felt he needed to say something to address this, but he didn't know how. This was how he ended up doing it, by telling this really, really moving and powerful story. It's really not even a graphic novel if you stop and think about it. That Contract with God is a collection of four novellas. But this was what he was about, was taking things to the next level. How can I do this? How can I make this work? Whether it was a graphic novel of his own or an adaptation like Moby Dick, which he did for children.
Well, the whole world of graphic novels has changed.
Absolutely.
What did the rest of the comics world think of Eisner at the time? You say now, mm-hmm. Jules Pfeiffer says every sure. graphic artist steals from Eisner. What did the others think of him at the time? Crumb, for instance, was at first not very impressed.
Right. Crumb was not ever into, say, the superhero stuff. He thought that was silly. But he did like Eisner's graphic novels, and particularly the book A Life Force, which, at the risk of tipping my mitt, as they used to say, is my personal favorite of Eisner's. I think it's just a magnificent book. And Crumb, Dennis Kitchen told an interesting story about Crumb upon seeing this. He sent him a letter and followed it up with a phone call, said he'd been incredibly depressed and to the point of even thinking about suicide. And he read this, and it gave him a whole new perspective. It made him feel strong again that he should pursue his own art.